We continue reading from the first chapter of Ecclesiastes. I assure you it's just as sunny as the first half was. Let us listen together for God's word. I, the teacher, when king over Israel and Jerusalem, applied my mind to seek and to search out by wisdom all that is done under heaven. It is an unhappy business that God has given to human beings to be busy with. I saw all the deeds that are done under the sun, and see, all is vanity and a chasing after wind. What is crooked cannot be made straight, and what is lacking cannot be counted. I said to myself, I have acquired great wisdom, surpassing all who were over Jerusalem before me, and my mind has had great experience of wisdom and knowledge. And I applied my mind to know wisdom and to know madness and folly. I perceived that this also is but a chasing after wind. For in much wisdom is much vexation, and those who increase knowledge increase sorrow. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. Let us pray. Holy God, this too is your word, given to us to build us up in faith, to lead us to salvation. So by the power of your Spirit, we seek to hear your voice, even in words such as these. We pray it in Jesus' name. Amen. I had a conversation recently with my four-year-old daughter, Emmy, and she was with her younger brother, who's almost two, and quickly outpacing her in size. It won't be long before he's bigger than she is, and she started to become anxious about it, and she said, Daddy, we'll read be bigger than me. And I said, well, yes, probably at some point, you know, both your brothers will probably be bigger than both you and your sister, but it doesn't matter how big you are. And she said, right, Daddy, that's right. It doesn't matter how big you are. It just matters that you don't die. My eyes went wide, I'm sure, because this came out of the blue. It's not like we had just finished some existential conversation about life and death. I don't talk to my children, at least not the younger ones, about things like this. I thought that certainly is one way to put things in perspective. There's a great Calvin and Hobbes comic strip that touches on this subject. Calvin is a precocious boy who questions all authority and all social norms of any kind, and he has a stuffed tiger, Hobbes, who when parents aren't around comes to life and is his conversation partner, often the voice of common sense. So Calvin and Hobbes are talking, and Calvin says, the problem with people is that they don't look at the big picture. Eventually, we're each going to die. Our species will go extinct. The sun will explode, and the universe will collapse. Existence is not only temporary, it's pointless. We're all doomed, and worse, nothing matters. Hobbes says, I see why people don't like to look at the big picture. Calvin says, well, it puts a bad day in perspective. You could say that the book of Ecclesiastes is trying to put things in perspective. The author of Ecclesiastes has confronted life as honestly as he possibly can, and he is doing his best to put everything that he's found in perspective. We're going to be looking at this book for the next few weeks. It's one of those decisions as a preacher that sounded like a good idea at the time. And the more I dig into it, the more anxious I'm becoming about preaching from it for 4 weeks. So we're going to muddle through this one together. I would encourage you to spend some time with it. Read it. It's not long. Take 30 minutes. Read the book of Ecclesiastes. And if you understand it, come visit me in my office and explain it to me. Because this is a challenging book. The narrator of this book, in Hebrew, is Kohelet, and we don't really know quite how to translate that word. In our translation, it comes through as teacher. Sometimes it's preacher. Literally, Kohelet means one who calls together a gathering, like a convener. And the word for gathering in Greek is ekklesia, which becomes the word for church. And so that's why he gets called the preacher, and the book gets called Ecclesiastes. This book is absolutely unique in all of Scripture. It's unique in its tone, its content, its attitude, its perspective. And maybe with only Job beside it, it is the most enigmatic, the most puzzling book in all of the Bible. It's hard to make Christian sense of this book. The author, Kohelet, he draws contradictory conclusions throughout, which you'll find if you read it start to finish. Sometimes he says that you should try to be wise, and then other times that you should not bother at all with wisdom, that it's a waste of time. Sometimes he says you should live life to the fullest and enjoy it, and then other times he says it's better to die than to live. Listen to some of the things that he says. He says the day of death is better than the day of birth. He says it's better to go to the house of mourning than to the house of feasting, because we're all going to end up at the house of mourning anyways. He says sorrow is better than laughter. He says better is the end of a thing than its beginning. He says do not be too righteous and do not act too wisely. Why should you destroy yourself? And they call this a book of wisdom. And despite how strange Ecclesiastes is, it's very present in popular culture. The words of this book echo in ways that you might find surprising. Of course, the sermon title this morning is Dust in the Wind, and that probably rings a bell, a great Kansas song that is actually based upon the first chapter of Ecclesiastes. You might know Pete Seeger's famous song, Turn, Turn, Turn to Everything. I'm not going to sing it. There is a season. Also, the 90s rock band Dave Matthews Band has a song, and the refrain of that song is, eat, drink, and be merry, for tomorrow we die, straight from Ecclesiastes. If you like to read John Grisham's novel, A Time to Kill, that's chapter 3. We'll get there. Ernest Hemingway's novel, The Sun Also Rises, that title is pulled straight from this chapter of Ecclesiastes. And perhaps you didn't know that Ecclesiastes is conservatives' favorite book of the Bible. And here's why. Chapter 10, verse 2, the heart of the wise inclines to the right, but the heart of a fool to the left. You might think I've pulled that out of context, but I have no idea what that means. It's just there. A little bit of wisdom. You can take that to Thanksgiving dinner if you'd like. So the first chapter of Ecclesiastes, which we've looked at now in its entirety, this is a sort of a summary of what becomes the argument of Kohelet, the author, the narrator, throughout this book. And it hinges on a single word. And that word in Hebrew is hevel. The first or the second verse is this. Vanity of vanities, says the teacher. Vanity of vanities, all is vanity. And that word vanity is that Hebrew word hevel. And no one really knows the best way to translate this. Another translation, the New International Version, translates it as meaningless. Meaningless, meaningless, says the teacher, utterly meaningless. Everything is meaningless. Another, perfectly pointless, says the teacher, perfectly pointless. Everything is pointless. This word hevel in Hebrew, it literally means breath or wind or vapor or mist. You kind of get the idea. That's the literal meaning. And it appears 38 times in the book of Ecclesiastes. And it's used, of course, figuratively to mean anything that is insubstantial, fleeting, ephemeral, superficial, puzzling, incomprehensible. A translation that I like a lot of that verse. Instead of using the word vanity, uses the word absurd. Absolutely absurd, says Kohelet. Absolutely absurd. Everything is absurd. The reason I like absurd as opposed to meaninglessness is that it doesn't erase the possibility of meaning. And yet it maintains that whatever meaning there is, that Kohelet is after, is fundamentally beyond our grasp. Because what Ecclesiastes is about is the search for meaning. That's what the author has said, that he set about to figure out the purpose of life, to figure out what meaning there is in wisdom and in folly. Einstein famously said that the most incomprehensible thing about the universe is that it is comprehensible. I think Kohelet would say that the most comprehensible thing about the universe is that it is incomprehensible, meaning the only thing we can be absolutely certain of in life is that we can be sure of nothing. I, the teacher, and king over Israel and Jerusalem, applied my mind to seek and to search out by wisdom all that is done under heaven. It is an unhappy business that God has given to human beings to be busy with. Now, I'm not sure I like that word unhappy. It sounds like unfortunate or inconvenient. It doesn't really carry the weight that is meant by the author in this case. The Hebrew word is the word for evil. Another way to translate it might be grievous or burdensome. This is a burdensome task, a grievous task that God has given us. And what is this task? What is this burden that we have? It is the search for meaning. It is trying to make reasonable sense out of life. And life, in the view of Kohelet, it just doesn't comply with reason. In fact, it offends reason. And yet still we continue to seek. Still we continue to pursue and probe life for what meaning there might be, which is absurd, which is hevel. It is a chasing after wind. Preacher, now I'm talking about me, not Kohelet. The preacher still hasn't done what the preacher is supposed to do with a text like this, and that is to answer the question of, so what? Right? Why are we talking about this? What do we do with a text like this? This text is not an outlier in the book of Ecclesiastes, as we will see. The whole of the book takes this tone, and we will spend the next 4 weeks digging into this question of what do we do with words like these. And the temptation for a preacher is to draw, to tie a nice bow around this passage, to try to draw out a tidy, neat, clean lesson, something you can take home with you, a little one-liner to remember to help to ease the tensions of this passage. Maybe we just invite Jesus to the party a little bit early so he can settle this unsettled text for us. Or at the very least, just end this discussion with a but. I know Ecclesiastes says this, but, and then go somewhere a little more comfortable, a little more settling. Because how can we hold on to words like this? How can we dwell for any length of time in the gloom and the despair and the skepticism of this book? And my answer to that is that maybe you already do. Or maybe you have before. Maybe these words, as painfully honest as they are, maybe they don't puzzle you. Maybe they resonate with you. Maybe they are healing for you. To hear these words and this kind of voice coming from, of all places, Holy Scripture. Part of the reason Scripture has staying power for us and for the church is that we long to find ourselves in that story. We long to find ourselves in the story of God at work in the world and among God's people. And Scripture is filled with stories of courageous faith and sure hope. Boldness and certainty and all of these things. And sometimes these things are found in us too. But other times we are more characterized by things like doubt and skepticism and despair. And maybe even outright hostility to God and all that we've been taught about the Christian life. The Old Testament scholar Ellen Davis tells of a time she was talking with a man who served as a chaplain in Vietnam. And he told her that at that time, in that place, the words of Ecclesiastes were the only words from Scripture that the men were willing to hear. We are all in different places, spiritually, religiously, emotionally, we are all in different places. And for some of us, the meaning of life, it has great big bright handles and we can grab onto it and we can hold it and we're good. But for some of us, reaching out to grab hold of life's meaning, of life's purpose, is more like trying to grab a vapor, a mist. It's like chasing after wind. Life's meaning is fleeting, ephemeral. It feels an absurd thing for us to even try and grasp it, try and hold it, try and comprehend it. We may find, as we work through the portions of this book, that we don't agree with the conclusions that Kohelet makes. Perhaps we will find that we don't understand his attitude, or we don't feel his despair. But the teacher, Kohelet, his gift to us is to enshrine these words in the Bible itself, to place in the center of Scripture the struggle to find the meaning in life, because it is a struggle. It is a struggle for us to understand our meaning, to understand our purpose. And this struggle is one that we Christians are not always willing to admit. It's one, I'm willing to bet, that we do all know this struggle. We have experienced it, whether we have admitted it. We have experienced this struggle of finding meaning, finding purpose. Kohelet was not an outsider to the faith. He was not an atheist or a secularist philosopher. He was not an alarmist who was trying to make the bestseller list by writing something as brash and controversial as he could manage. He was an insider. He believed in the God of Israel. He participated in the worship of Israel. He was trained in the wisdom of Israel. This book is right next to Proverbs in Scripture, and for good reason. He's pulling on all of that tradition. Kohelet was an insider. He was a part of the family. And from that standpoint, from one who is inside the faith, from one who has known and loved and worshiped the God of Israel, he is giving voice to confusion and to frustration and even anger. And in doing so, he's giving us permission to do the same. Permission to admit that we don't have everything figured out. Permission to admit that sometimes life's answers are not just beyond our reach, but sometimes we wonder if there are even answers at all to the questions that confound us. This is the struggle of Kohelet in Ecclesiastes. This is the struggle that he is giving voice to and that he will flesh out as we go through this text. And this is our struggle too. And even in the gloom and the despair and the darkness of this text, I trust that together we will find our way to a more honest, a richer, and a deeper faith. Let us pray. God, may we receive this text, this part of your word, your speech to us as a gift to be explored, a gift to be examined. And may we also explore and examine our own hearts and come to an understanding of who you are and who we are and what part we play. Finding strength even in the midst of great perplexity, that is our struggle to find meaning in life. And we pray it in Jesus' name. Amen.